Well, today's reading in the devotional book was about our feet. And it's the couplet in Francis Habergal's song that says, take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. And we have our feet kept for Jesus. Keep my feet that they may be swift and beautiful for thee. We understand the swift part. We want to run and follow hard after the Lord wherever he leads. We want to be right there, swift to hear, ready to follow and to obey his call and to do his will and run his errands. Draw me, we will run after thee. Sure, that we understand. What about the beautiful part? Beautiful feet. Maybe you think your feet are beautiful, and maybe they are. I don't know. I like to keep mine covered. I remember once when I was a camper, and I was on the end of the dock, ready to dive in. You know, I had those toes curled under on the end of the dock. One of my friends said, "Look at those feet. Man, your toes are 3 miles long or something." Anyway, so I haven't been down to the beach since. No, I'm kidding. But, you know, some people's feet, I guess, are nicer than others. But that's not what it means. To have a beautiful feet. Do you understand what that is? Comes from the Bible, the passage in the Bible. It has to do with running on the Lord's errands and telling the good news. And you can find that in the prophet Isaiah. You have a couple references. Before we get to the one about feet, I just want to start with Isaiah 40, where it says in the 9th verse, O Zion, that bringest good tidings. Get thee up into the high mountain, O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings. Lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. You who bring good tidings to Zion, get up on the high mountain. Lift up your voice with a shout. You're bringing good news, a grand message. Lift up your voice. Don't be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. That's the Lord Jesus coming with his salvation. This section of the book of Isaiah prophesies the coming of the Messiah, the salvation that we have in him, among other things. But that's covered here in a wonderful way. And it says he's coming with power. His arm rules for him. His reward is with him. His recompense accompanies him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those that are with young. We understand that speaks about the Lord Jesus. And anything that would tell, any messenger who would tell of his coming and would proclaim to the cities of Judah that the Christ is coming, the Savior, mighty to save, is coming, why, that messenger would have beautiful feet. It would be well received. Isaiah 52. I believe it's in 52. Yes. Verse 7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Remember that song? How lovely on the mountains are the feet of them that bring good news. Maybe you sing that in your church. And then the chorus is, thy God reigns, 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 thy God. You know, that one. That one. It's a wonderful message. And it's, if you bring it, God reigns. You have beautiful feet, the prophet says. How beautiful are the feet of those that bring good tidings. You know, this morning, let me test your memory. This morning, we looked at a verse of someone who has, or who had, beautiful feet. How about that? Because he said, we declare unto you glad tidings. Okay, now who was that? And where was that? Do you remember what the glad tidings were? This morning. This morning, in this room, in morning worship, we said that we were going over some of those verses that have but in them, and I said, this is a great one, but God raised him from the dead. So, who was preaching glad tidings? Acts 13, first missionary journey. Antioch, right? Paul preaching glad tidings. Jesus was crucified. He is raised from the dead. Was anybody else here besides me? Yes, you were here. You remember now. I'm reminding you. So, okay. Paul went to Antioch, and he probably had sandals on his feet, but those feet were beautiful. Because he said, we declare unto you glad tidings. The promises that were made to our fathers have been fulfilled. Jesus, the Savior, has come. He died on the cross. God raised him from the dead. We declare unto you glad tidings. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of them that bring good tidings, that publish peace. That bring good tidings of good, that publish salvation, that say unto Zion, thy God reigns. Our God reigns. What a wonderful message. Our God saves. Our Savior is a living Savior. And because he lives, we shall live also. And he is mighty to save and strong to deliver. We have a message, a story to tell to the people around us, a glorious gospel. That's what the gospel is. Good news. Good news. We sing that too at home in the primary department anyway. We used to. Good news, good news. Christ died for you. Good news, good news. What does that say? If something about if you believe, it's extra good news, right? Remember how we used to? Not I, but yeah, that came in after my time. But the kids yell out that extra. Enthusiastically, well, we ought to be enthusiastic about the good news that we have been entrusted with. Paul was, we declare unto you glad tidings, and we should be too. The apostles, the early church, with what joy they testified of Christ. It was wonderful. It's wonderful to read those stories in Acts. But here's another Bible story I want to read to you tonight. This is an interesting story. It's a story about good tidings. And these people, I feel sure, didn't have beautiful feet if you would look at them. For they were lepers. They were lepers. They were diseased in their skin. And they spent their time, their lives outside of town, away from others, probably looking for their food, maybe even in the garbage or begging. And it was an awful time. I'm going to read from 2 Kings 6. It was a time of famine, and these lepers didn't see any hope. They thought they were about to die. 2 Kings 6:24. Now, in your translation, it may say Syria instead of Aram. It's the same Bible story. Don't think you are in the wrong place. 2 Kings 6:24. Sometime later, however, King Ben-Hadad of Aram mustered his entire army and besieged Samaria. 2 Kings 6:24. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Sometime later, however, King Ben-Hadad of Aram mustered his entire army and besieged Samaria, which was Israel, okay, God's people in Israel. As a result, there was a great famine in the city. The siege lasted so long that a donkey's head sold for 80 pieces of silver and a cup of dove's dung sold for 5 pieces of silver. One day, as the king of Israel was walking along the wall of the city, a woman called to him, "Please help me, my lord the king." He answered, "If the Lord doesn't help you, what can I do? I have neither food from the threshing floor nor wine from the press to give you." But then the king asked, "What is the matter?" Asked the lady why she was pleading for help. She replied, "This woman said to me," meaning another woman, "Come on, let's eat your son today. Then we will eat my son tomorrow." So we cooked my son and ate him. Then the next day I said to her, "Kill your son so we can eat him." But she has hidden her son. When the king heard this, he tore his clothes in despair. And as the king walked along the wall, the people could see that he was wearing burlap under his robe next to his skin. "May God strike me and even kill me if I don't separate Elisha's head from his shoulders this very day," the king vowed. See, this king was an ungodly man, and he blamed God for the problem and the man of God. He said, "I'm going to kill him. This is awful. People asking me for help that I can't give." And this terrible state of affairs, I don't think we can imagine such a thing. Elisha was sitting in his house with the elders of Israel when the king sent a messenger to summon him. But before the messenger arrived, Elisha said to the elders, "A murderer has sent a man to cut off my head. When he arrives, shut the door and keep him out. We will soon hear his master's steps following him." While Elisha was still saying this, the messenger arrived. And the king said, "All this misery is from the Lord. Why should I wait for the Lord any longer?" But God gave his prophet Elisha a word. Elisha replied, "Listen to this message from the Lord. This is what the Lord says. By this time tomorrow, in the markets of Samaria, 5 quarts of choice flour will cost only 1 piece of silver, and 10 quarts of barley grain will cost only 1 piece of silver." The officer assisting the king said to the man of God, "That couldn't happen, even if the Lord opened the windows of heaven." But Elisha replied, "You will see it happen with your own eyes, but you won't be able to eat any of it." Now there were 4 men with leprosy sitting at the entrance of the city gates. "Why should we sit here waiting to die?" they asked each other. "We will starve if we stay here. But with the famine in the city, we will starve if we go back there. So we might as well go out and surrender to the Aramean army. If they let us live, so much the better. But if they kill us, we would have died anyway." So you get the picture. They figure, "Well, the best thing for us to do, we're dying here. We can't go into the city. Let's go to the enemy camp and see if they receive us. Maybe they'll give us something to eat. That'll be good. If they don't receive us, well, same thing. We would have died anyway." So at twilight, they set out for the camp of the Arameans. But when they came to the edge of the camp, no one was there. For the Lord had caused the Aramean army to hear the clatter of speeding chariots and the galloping of horses and the sounds of a great army approaching. "The king of Israel has hired the Hittites and Egyptians to attack us," they cried to one another. So they panicked and ran into the night, abandoning their tents, horses, donkeys, and everything else as they fled for their lives. When the lepers arrived at the edge of the camp, they went into one tent after another, eating and drinking wine, and they carried off silver and gold and clothing and hid it. Finally, they said to each other, "This is not right. This is a day of good news, and we aren't sharing it with anyone. If we wait until morning, some calamity will certainly fall upon us. Come on, let's go back and tell the people at the palace." So they went back to the city and told the gatekeepers what had happened. "We went out to the Aramean camp," they said, "and no one was there. The horses and donkeys were tethered, and the tents were all in order, but there wasn't a single person around. Then the gatekeepers shouted the news to the people in the palace. The king got out of bed in the middle of the night and told his officers, "I know what has happened. The Arameans know we are starving, so they have left their camp and have hidden in the fields. They are expecting us to leave the city, and then they will take us alive and capture the city." One of his officers replied, "We had better send out scouts to check into this. Let them take 5 of the remaining horses. If something happens to them, it will be no worse than if they stay here and die with the rest of us." So 2 chariots with horses were prepared, and the king sent scouts to see what had happened to the Aramean army. They went all the way to the Jordan River, following a trail of clothing and equipment that the Arameans had thrown away in their mad rush to escape. The scouts returned and told the king about it. Then the people of Samaria rushed out and plundered the Aramean camp. So it was true that 5 quarts of choice flour were sold that day for 1 piece of silver, and 10 quarts of barley grain were sold for 1 piece of silver, just as the Lord had promised. The king appointed his officer to control the traffic at the gate, but he was knocked down and trampled to death as the people rushed out. So everything happened exactly as the man of God had predicted when the king came to his house to take his head. The man of God had said to the king, "By this time tomorrow, in the markets of Samaria, 5 quarts of choice flour will cost 1 piece of silver, and 10 quarts of barley grain will cost 1 piece of silver." The king's officer had replied, "That couldn't happen, even if the Lord opened the windows of heaven." And the man of God had said, "You will see it happen with your own eyes, but you won't be able to eat any of it." And so it was, for the people trampled him to death at the gate. Isn't that a tremendous story? That's in the Bible. Did you know that was there? You ever hear that story before? That's tremendous. It's an economics lesson too, isn't it? About prices and abundance and how the price comes down and how it goes up when there's not enough, right? Anyway, it's much more than that. What an awful thing happened to God's people. The enemies came and besieged their capital city. And they were dying. They had to be killing their children in order to survive. Terrible situation. Of course, we can understand the consternation, the frustration. The king was at the end of himself. What could he do to change the situation? What could he do? He of course, took the wrong course. "I think I'll cut Elisha's head off of his neck." What good would that do? "I blame God for this." What an awful thing. What an awful thing. But God knew exactly how to turn it around in the space of a short time. It was entirely hopeless, or so they thought. God could make the armies, the enemy hosts, hear sounds that sounded so real that they took off. They took off thinking that they were defeated. And they were. They were, just because of those sounds that were so frightening to them, they left everything behind. And there, these 4 lepers who got this idea, you think that just came out of nowhere? Of course not. God is in control. And they got this idea, "Let's go over to the enemy camp. We're dying here. We go in there. We won't be accepted. We're going to die with the rest of them. Either way, let's go there. Maybe we'll live. Maybe we'll die. Maybe they'll kill us. Maybe they'll take us in. Maybe they'll give us something." Nobody's there. You followed the story, I'm sure. Nobody's there. Everything was left. They ran for their lives. The enemies were defeated just by a sound. God is so great. God wrought salvation that day for the people of Israel. And these lepers were enjoying themselves there. They had been so hungry. And they were eating, and they had plenty. And then they saw things that made their eyes open wide. Look at this. Maybe I can sell this. Look at this. Look at these clothes. Look at this gold and silver. You know, let's fill our pockets or whatever, and make the most out of this. No. There's something wrong with this. There's something wrong with this picture. We have good tidings. Good news to share. Let's go back and share it. We're not doing the right thing by not sharing this good news. How beautiful their feet were that day when they shared the tidings of salvation and brought the prices down. And people rushed in to get what they could. Oh, how they were starving. And there was a mad rush for the supplies that had been brought back to Samaria. And this man who spoke in unbelief when the prophet gave the word of the Lord, it came out exactly as had been said by the Lord. If God would make windows in heaven, such a thing could not be. You're going to see it happen, Elisha said. The Lord said, you're going to see it happen, but you won't partake. You won't eat of it. Just as it was prophesied, so it happened. And we see how, there's so many lessons in this story. The one I want to bring out is about having beautiful feet and sharing the good news. We're entrusted with the best news ever. This is a day of good tidings. We're not doing right in keeping it to ourselves, they said. Let's go and tell the story. Just think of our story that we've been entrusted with to tell that story. I include myself in this when I say we, as God's children in our day, hold back much more than we should. God wants to say of our feet that they are beautiful, that they have followed in the steps of the Savior. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior. Stepping in the light, led in paths of light, following Him and sharing the good news of His salvation. We have a story to tell, and it's a wonderful story. It's been called the greatest story ever told. It's the story of Jesus. And if I were to ask you about that story and what your message is to share with others around you, would we have a good answer? We are told in the Bible that we should be ready always with an answer. With an answer for those who are around us needing an answer, who may ask us of the reason of the hope that is within us. What would you say if someone said to you, what is it that makes you different? I see something different about you. You'd be surprised. People do see something about your life that's different. Now, if they were to muster up the courage to come and approach you and say, what is it? I noticed something about you that's different. Sometimes people have said that to me. I suppose they've said it to you, too. The last one was, I should say, too long ago. It was maybe a couple months ago. There was a man who said to me, after I told him, he asked me what I do. And then he said, I thought so. There's something different about you, you know, and I've been watching you. Now, that should be multiplied over and over. I don't say that with any boasting. That should happen much more often than it does. And then there should be some glad tidings to tell about Jesus, who changed our night to day, who brought life out of death, who gave us joy unspeakable, washed away all our sins, came to live in our hearts, gave us a hope of eternal life. There should be something wonderful that we can say. The story is not not something to be ashamed of at all, but not something fanciful either, based on facts. The facts, historical facts. We have something to tell about the God who made heaven and earth. He made heaven and earth. Those stars that you see so brightly here at camp, He holds sway over them. He made them. He rules the universe. And yet He dwells in our hearts. This is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. We hold our peace. Our story is about Jesus. Jesus and His death and resurrection. Jesus who came to this world, this God who made everything. It says all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. He came down to this earth, and He lived and died here and to be our Savior. And He won a great victory when He went to the cross. They thought they won, but there was the greatest triumph of all time. And then He rose from the dead, and He lives to save to the uttermost all who come to God by Him. What a story we have to tell. A story of salvation, a story of deliverance from sin, a story of new life in Christ, fellowship with the God who made us. What a story we have to tell. Something that perhaps they have never heard. You know, it's the Christian creed. It's a wonderful story. It's a story of love. It's a story of condescension. A story of triumph. A story of salvation. A story of hope for eternity. It's a wonderful story. And we keep it to ourselves. And we are not doing right when we do that. We can tell others the story of His love, the story of the God who came down and took our human form and went to the cross to bear our sins upon Himself and to bring us into right relationship with God, to bring us into the peace. We said this morning that, or recently, that Augustine said, "Restless is my heart until it finds its rest in You." All around us there are people that don't know peace because they don't have Christ. And here's a message that we have of salvation from sin, deliverance from death and destruction, life eternal in fellowship with God, knowing Jesus, God's own Son, our Savior, as the One who comes to live in our hearts, to change us by His power, to make us fit for Christ's for the Spirit's indwelling, and to make us those, as we sing, who will one day enter heaven's courts and serve Him there. What a story we have to tell. And we might have been so affected by sin. One of our songs, it speaks about the leprosy of sin. We've all tasted of the darkness and the terrible consequences of sin, at least in measure. If we've come to the Savior, He has shown us our need, and so we know something about our sinful hearts. But He has saved us. He has given us life, and we have good news to share. Are we doing that? Are we sharing the good news? Do we have beautiful feet? There's so much more we could say about this, but time moves on. Time marches on. But we're to tell the story. We're to tell the story. Do you want to have beautiful feet? I do. I want to have beautiful feet. this kind of beautiful feet. I think my feet are pretty nice, but anyway, I'm talking about this kind. We're given a message to share. God reigns. Jesus has come. He will save and save you if you will open your heart to Him. In prayer meeting on Sunday, someone started that song, Rescue the Perishing. And it says, weep o'er the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. I think we sang that verse. Tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. You might think the Christian creed is somewhat boring or stuffy. It's not at all. It's not at all. Just recite it to yourself. The story of love. God taking human form, coming down to earth, living that perfect life of love, laying down His life, maligned and spat upon and crucified by wicked hands, crucified and slain. They thought, the devil, I'm sure, thought he had triumphed, but in Colossians 2, we read that it was a spectacle. The devil and all his powers were openly defeated, Christ triumphing over them in His cross. What a moment that was in history, the greatest victory. And then He broke the bands of death and destroyed that last enemy. We don't see all enemies put under His feet yet, but they have been destroyed and they will be. And He is today seated in the heavenlies. It says, from henceforth expecting till all His foes are made His footstool. And we're part of that. We're part of that. And part of that is telling the story, as Paul did, sharing the good news that others may come along and know life eternal. They don't need to die in their sins. They can be saved and know His life. The gift of God, we said also this morning, if you recall, from Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. There's the story to tell, the message to proclaim. How are we doing with that? I feel that I should do better, especially one-on-one with people around me, sharing these good tidings. Perhaps you'd say tonight, we do not well. We're holding our peace instead of sharing. I haven't done well. You might say, I want to do better. Lord, let Your love fill my heart. Help me to reach out. Your hands were extended on the tree, as we heard yesterday. Cause my hands to be moved at the impulse of Your love. Your feet were wounded for me. But oh, You came on that wonderful errand, the greatest errand of all. You came from heaven to be my Savior. And I want to run on Your errands and have feet that are swift and beautiful for You. I want to bring the message. I want to show forth Your love and Your beauty and tell forth the glorious message of Your salvation. Help me, Lord. One of the most stirring things, there's so many things. I had a preacher, my minister in my church. Most of my life was my father. And so I knew a lot of the things that he would say, he would repeat, just as I suppose my children do. Know some of the things that I'm going to say when I start in a certain direction. But one of the stories that he told was about being in high school, in gym class. And right at the end of the line, I don't know if you do this in your gym class, you had to line up in your squads. And in Richmond Hill, there were letters and numbers on the sides of the gym. And if you were at bar at 9, you knew your spot, and you better be in it. And you had these lines, and Dad went to Richmond Hill, by the way, too. And now Matt teaches there. So anyway, there was the guy in front of the line, and my father felt, share the gospel with him. He felt that dropped into his heart, and he was afraid to do it. He was tongue-tied. I guess it happened a few times that he felt that stirring about that guy that was at the front of the line. And he said one Monday morning, when they fell into place, he wasn't there. And the news spread rather rapidly that he had died over the weekend. Well, you can imagine how my father felt, having never shared the message with that man. Maybe he heard the story another way. Maybe God allowed or took him. I don't even know how he died. But Dad felt that there was a tremendous failure on his part. And when I'd hear that story, I'd always be stirred. Oh, God, help me. When you prompt me to practice prompt obedience and not to let myself hold back. Oh, how easy it is, especially in cases like this, to hold back. Think of the lepers. They had no standing at all in the city of Samaria and their community. I can imagine when they came back with their story. As it indicates, the gatekeepers were intermediaries, and they shouted the news into the city. But there must have been some who said, who are those lepers? What do they know? They're fools. They're not part of this community. We don't have to listen to them. That's impossible. Maybe they had the same degree of receptivity to the good news that the officer had who was trampled to death, you know. And so it is that we feel that way about our story, too, sometimes. I think we hesitate to tell it because we don't think it will be received. And that's really not our concern. We want it to be received, of course, but it's our job to be ambassadors for Christ, in Christ's stead, to say, be ye reconciled to God. Come, here's a story of love. I want to share it with you. I want you to know my Savior. Lord, fill us with the Spirit. Fill us with divine love, the love that sent you to Calvary. We pray that it will send us forth too with the message, with the good tidings of salvation. Help us to share the good news. Help me not to be so backward or reticent with the greatest story. And it's not just a story, it's the truth of God. It's the solid truth, oh Lord, and I can share it. And it makes all the difference when received into the heart, oh Lord. And who knows who will receive it, but Lord, make us faithful in sharing the good tidings, telling the good news. We do not well if we hold our peace. Oh Lord, touch my lips. Help me to run with the message. Make me freer and more obedient, oh God, to you. Help us, Lord. Even this night, as we've looked at this story, what a wonderful story it is. But help us to learn this lesson, not just to enjoy the blessings for ourselves, as wonderful as they are, but help us to also let the love of Jesus flow and tell the glad tidings like Paul did. We declare unto you glad tidings. There's a Savior. He has given his life for us that we might live. And he has been raised from the dead to save us to the uttermost. And you can know him, and you can know life. Oh Lord, put that in my heart, put that in my mouth, anoint my lips. Oh, fill me with your Spirit, oh God. Oh God, and prompt me to share the good news with others. Bless all of us, Lord. We're not going to be here forever. We're going back to our places, and we pray that our lives shall shine for you. Your beauty shall be seen, and this good news shall be shared more than it has been before, because you have gripped our hearts. Don't let us hold our peace where we ought to be speaking the glad tidings. We pray. Oh God, touch us tonight. Convict us tonight. Touch my heart. Lord, Lord, let us be those who are ready with an answer, ready to tell the good news wherever you send us, to go forth with this glorious message. For your name's sake we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So there's a song I was singing today that says, over land and sea, wherever man may dwell, make the glorious tidings known. Are you going to do that tonight? Let's resolve that we're going to do that better. All of us. Okay? And since we're talking about feet, this song fits. Marching on. 426. Marching on.